Welcome to another episode of MusicCast, the music podcast where we don't really talk about music, but why these songs are so important and amazing to the ones who are listening today. My name is Peter, as always. Today I'm with Todd Sullivan, an author from, well, he's living currently in Taiwan. Hi, Todd, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Thank you for being here, my friend. And to all of our audience, remember to subscribe to our podcast. You can listen to us in Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Audioboo, and so many more platforms. You can also check our two Spotify playlists, Music at Playlist, where we're going to introduce the songs that we're going to mention in this episode, plus all the others in the past episodes. Music Morning, which is available, is a playlist with all the songs that I use in the morning when I go to my work. Oh, and remember to check out Music in Spanish, which is going to be every Thursday at 7:30 a.m. And that pretty much wraps up the introduction. All right. How you been, Todd? How's everything over there on that side of the planet?
It's actually pretty well. Right now, it's extremely hot here. It's the middle of the summer, so it's just really hot here. But otherwise, it's pretty cool, actually.
Okay. I'm in Miami, so extremely hot here, too. I can feel it. So, my friend, it's an honor to have you in my podcast. First time that we have an author. And I would say it's a pretty interesting story that you got right there, you know, living in the other side of our world for saying in some point. I mean, it got to be a different culture, right, that you're experiencing over there.
It is, you know, but I've actually been living in Asia for the past 12 years, so I guess I've gotten a little bit accustomed to it. But yeah, it's definitely quite different from America. Even though when I was living in New York, I was living in Koreatown, and before I came to Taiwan, I was living in Korea for 10 years. So being from America, you're used to different cultures. And so it's, even though it's different, it's not as if I have no experience to Asian culture. So it's different, but still, I'm cool with it.
Nice. I'm happy to hear that. And because I want to keep track in this thing, I would like to jump right into it and talk to you about my song. How about that?
That's cool.
All right. So we were talking prior to the recording and with some emails. I know your song talks about inspiration, and that's why I decided to choose a song for me as well that inspires me. And it's special because this is the song that have two moods at the same time. When I start to listen to it, I always get relaxing and in a very chill mode. And by the end, I'm really energetic and I feel very powerful and I can do almost anything. This song is Dirty Water by the Foo Fighters from their album Concrete and Gold, released in 2017. So,
cool.
Yeah. Do you know the song? I mean, you know the Foo Fighters or?
I know the Foo Fighters, right. I know the Foo Fighters. I do.
Okay, perfect. This song is pretty new. As you see, it's 2017 from their previous record. It's very different from the beginning. If you go to like basics, they have evolved so much in artists. But yeah, it's special. It's some kind of long, like 5 minutes. It starts so chill, so calming. You're feeling like you're entering a dream. That's pretty much what the song says. And then there's this buildup of energy that is coming and coming with you until, yeah, you get at the end. The last part is amazing. Question, do you find yourself going to music as well for inspiration for your books, or how is music important to you?
I mean, it's extremely important. I grew up in New Orleans, which is the kind of jazz capital of the world. It's where a lot of jazz comes from, a lot of music comes from. And I used to, I don't really quite so much anymore, but for a very long time, I went to a lot of clubs and I really loved dancing. And so even though I don't so much anymore, I did really a lot from 18 years old up until like 30, my mid-30s, something like that. So yeah, I mean, it's extremely important to me. And when I write, I always listen to music. I never write without music playing in the background. So it's extremely, extremely important to me.
What genre, what music do you normally use when you're writing?
When I'm writing, it tends to be, I think it's called dream pop. I don't know, it's different names. But anyway, it's kind of dream pop. So it's actually just more mellow, more quiet. Okay. It's music that I don't really have to, like the words can intrude upon me. So it's more melody. Like they have to have words, but it's more melody. The words are more quiet. But yeah, so it's kind of dream pop, I suppose.
Okay, that's good. And would you say that's your favorite genre right now, or what's the best or the most common genre that arounds in Todd's Spotify playlist?
I don't know if it's a genre or not, but I've been listening to a massive amount of Dave Matthews Band. Like, I listen to a lot of that. So that's what I listen to. Dave Matthews Band and Sia are the two people that I listen to the most for the past year or two.
Nice. Kind of different, but at the same time, I feel the vibe.
Oh, they're both are very, very calm. I mean, they're calm enough. It's not like more rap music, hip hop. Pop something like that, which is a bit more in your face. It's not like dance music. I mean, you go to a club and you want to move or something. So Dave Matthews and Sia are both, in my opinion, somewhat calmish with music. So that's the similarity for me.
Right. Okay. Now that I'm thinking, you already have a couple of books published, right?
Right, yes.
Right, which are about fantasy and horror, pretty much.
Right.
What got you into that? Well, what's the inspiration that you made into this genre or to writing books?
Honestly, it's just what gets published. Like, I actually write a lot of different things, but the fantasy and the horror are the ones that started getting published when I was 35 years old. And so that's why I do the most of, even though I do like poetry and I do like essays and plays and screenplays. But fantasy and horror, it's just what people from me tend to like to, it's what they wanted to pay for. And so that's why I do the most of.
Okay, that's good. And because you're probably more into books, I like to ask this question to my guest. Which movie would you like to live in this point, I will change it to you. In what universe of which book would Todd Sullivan think it would be best?
You know, the first one, I don't really, it's the kind of difficult question, but the first thing that pops in my head is Bram Stoker's Dracula. That's like the first thing that pops into my head. So I suppose for this moment right now, that particular movie, Bram Stoker's Dracula, or the book, it's also a book too. So let's just say both of those, the book and the movie.
Okay, good. Good for that. Why did it came up first? Why would you like to be there?
It's why would I like to be there? I guess, you know, it's very interesting. It takes place in Western Europe, I believe, or Eastern Europe. So it's like a foreign-based like environment and kind of attracted to places that are away from home. So that may be part of it too. It's kind of dark, moody, romantic. I don't know if your audience have even seen Bram Stoker's Dracula. It's actually a bit old now. But it's kind of dark, it's moody and dramatic. And so there's like a tragic element to it, but there's also redemption at the end. So there's like a lot of different elements that go into both the book and the movie. So maybe it's for that complexity. And it's also just really cool. If you've seen Dracula, the character, he's a very cool person. So I think these are the reasons why I would probably choose why it popped in my head now.
No, good. I like it. So as we're going into books and all that, I want to go into yours. For example, I know you use this kind of melodic music to inspire yourself, but what would you say is the song or song that goes or that makes the environment of your books?
So my writing, it's very, it kind of pulls you in, and that's what I think dream pop does. It just, for me at least, I really
Okay.
enjoy dream pop, but I think it kind of pulls you in. And there's a rhythm to words. There's actually a rhythm to writing itself. And so I feel like almost the rhythm of the music is kind of beneath the words themselves as you write them. I think it can't be helped almost. And so that's probably, in a way, it's almost like a foundation of the rhythm of the narrative, the prose, and what's going on there. So that's basically my relationship to writing and music itself.
Right, cool. I think you have a pretty cool story. I mean that you're living in Asia for all this long and you're publishing these books. And what would you say, do you write these books more towards to a Western audience, or do you already submerge yourself into the Asian culture and you're trying just to achieve that part of the world?
Actually, I try to write to everyone.
Okay.
Like, I hope it transcends kind of culture and races. You know, I think the closest you could, I'm trying to aim for, if your audience enjoys Japanese anime, I don't know if
Oh
they
yeah.
do or not, but if they do, you know, the funny thing about Japanese anime is that here in Taiwan, the people love it. In Korea, they love it. In America, they love it. I think all over the world, in the UK, wherever, people know Naruto, they know Dragon Ball Z, they know you know, Helsing, they know all these things. And so that's what I'm trying to aim for. I'm trying to aim for something that crosses borders and then also crosses ages, because I'm in my 40s, but then my students who are like 13, we all know Naruto. We all know the same episodes. We can actually talk about this. And so that's really what I'm aiming for. I'm aiming for writing that kind of transcends about a lot of the boundaries that we kind of place around ourselves.
All right. Now that you mention anime, what anime are you watching right now?
I rewatch a lot of the same ones. So, you know, the one that I wanted to get back to is Attack on Titan. Titan is the one. But, you know, it's so funny. Not to get off tangent, but on Netflix I have, it's on Netflix, but it's only in Chinese. It's not in English, so I haven't really watched it yet because they don't have an English, because I'm in Taiwan. And so right. Netflix is a regional thing, so they don't have the English version of it yet. So I haven't actually seen the newest episodes. But yeah, so Attack on Titan was the one I was watching up until recently.
Oh, that's nice. I watched it too. I finished it probably a couple of weeks ago.
Well, don't tell me. Yeah.
And I mean, it's good. I mean, what you say is true. It doesn't matter the age. It doesn't matter the place. Anime is going everywhere. And I really hope your books does the same. And that's why this podcast exists, because I believe music tends to do the same. It doesn't matter what age you are. You can be 12, you can be 40, you can be 60, but you can enjoy a song from the same band. You can enjoy the same song, right? So you can enjoy the band, you can enjoy the same song, which makes me wonder, do you think that we're going to keep getting more and more of this combination of between the Eastern part of the world and the Western part of the world? Because we already have anime, we already have a couple of movies and literature that is coming, of course, with manga as well. Would you say that is going to close even more the boundaries, or pretty much we are at the peak point?
It's a tough question, because, you know, who would have thought COVID was going to happen in 2020? I think it was 2020. So it's so hard trying to read the future, but I would like to think that as we continue going forward, there are parts of the culture that keep mixing. There's parts of it that stay the same, because it really is cool to live in Korea. And then you see how there's like some Western influence, and then there's, of course, Korean culture. But then also you experience these things that you never would have thought existed, because it's like there's some things in Korea that are just completely different. And you come to Taiwan, there's some things that are completely different. So even though it would be nice for things to continue coming together, it will also be very good that there are still things that are, like, when you go out and explore, it's completely different. And so you just get to discover and become amazed by something. So I think a combination of both.
Okay.
Coming together at some points, but then having things that could still surprise you and amaze you at the same time.
Right. And the question that I wanted to do at the beginning, but I think I avoided, is how did you end up in Asia, my friend?
I teach English here. So, you know, I have a bachelor's in English and a master's in writing. And to be honest, if you have a bachelor's in English and a master's in writing, you're going to teach English somewhere. I mean, that's basically how that works. And the question is, where are you going to teach it? And if you have a master's, you're going to be either in high school or university. So you're going to teach English in your country, America, or you're going to teach it somewhere else. Most people choose to teach in America, or wherever country they're from anyway, if they're in the UK, Australia. But I chose to do it after I graduated my master's in Korea. I was aiming for Japan, actually. But anyway, I ended up in Korea. And that's why I was going to teach in English anyway, either way.
Nice. That's cool. And pretty much the English is the same thing that took you to Taiwan, right?
Same thing, right. Yeah, exact same thing.
Nice. And do you enjoy living in Taiwan? I mean, it's different for Korea, or it's pretty similar?
See, that's the problem with COVID. I mean, who knows what would have been if COVID hadn't happened. It's been cool. I mean, we're actually on a pretty big lockdown right now because of the recent surge. But, you know, what I did was cool. It was cool. It was very interesting. I wrote a lot from here, so that's really important for me. I think, though, because of what happened with COVID, Korea was much more fun. You know, there was like freedom in Korea, whereas here, everyone's in their apartment wearing masks and all this kind of thing. So,
okay, that's cool. And any plans of staying for a long time in Taiwan, or is pretty much where the life takes you at this point?
I'll be leaving in 28 days. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my friend, I think this is the time that we take a little break and we listen to the song again. This is a song that I use a lot for inspiration, so that's why I decided to show this. I hope in some point you hear it too. And this is the time that the audience grabs a good pair of headphones and listen to Dirty Water by Foo Fighters, and we'll be right back. All right, and we're back. What do you think, my friend, about the song?
It's good. It's like actually almost like two different parts. One part is actually kind of quiet, and then one part's pretty loud.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like two different parts, actually, two different songs almost.
That's why I like this song so much. I think it's a perfect song that I like to use after a long day of work, that I feel probably a little bit tired or stressed out. I just put it in the car. As I'm driving the first part, I drain away all the stress and energy from the office. And then I just get this other, within the loud part, I get the energy that I'm finally, you know, over with that, and I can enjoy and do my hobbies and stuff. That's why I think it's so amazing. And I want to share a couple of information that I have. Not exactly from the song, but from the album. Foo Fighters recorded this in 2017. The producer is called Greg Kirsten, which is actually a producer for many Sia albums that you mentioned, Sia. Mm. They were together probably like in three or four albums, and he's a monster of production and recording. And Dave Grohl, which is the singer from Foo Fighters, decided for this one to change it a little bit and to try to get more elements. Pretty much all the songs have these kind of different sides and tempos, right? And when you start looking into the credits of the album, you start to see these all different artists that have nothing to do with Foo Fighters. You get the singer from one of the singer from Boys to Men that feature in one of the songs. You have Justin Timberlake, who helped with a chorus in one of the songs, and even Paul McCartney played the drums in one of their songs. And you get like, wow, if you're expecting the Foo Fighters from the beginning, it's like how they end up singing with Boys to Men and Paul McCartney and Justin Timberlake. All these artists come together and created this masterpiece, which I recommend to anyone. So yeah, I mean, it's a good song. So before I go too long, this is the time what I ask you, Todd, Mr. Todd Sullivan, what did you bring to MusicCast? What song have you brought me?
I put up there Still Crazy, I think I chose, right? Still Crazy. Right, but did you want me to actually put it on there?
We'll play it. We'll play it later. Don't worry. Tell me why you got this song for me.
Still Crazy, right? Still is crazy. It's a very old song, extremely old. I heard this when I was in elementary school, and I think I'm pretty sure Still is still producing albums. He's produced quite a few albums. I think his most popular one is Kiss from a Rose from Batman soundtrack a very long time ago. But anyway, that's the one. Still is crazy.
All right. Why did you choose this song? Why this mark you, well, in elementary, and still one of those amazing songs for you?
You know, it's really hard in this day and age to explain this, but it makes me feel very old, even saying it, putting in that context. But anyway, back in the 80s, it was so hard to get really, really different kind of things because there wasn't the internet. And basically, only what kind of came to your house to like albums, like, you know, CDs and albums, could you hear? And these things were hard to get. And so, and this is back in time with MTV, which again, I don't even know if people in your audience are familiar with it. But when my cousin from Texas came to visit us one summer, and he was telling us, you gotta listen to the song by this person called Still. And then we saw his video. And for me, it was the first time I had ever seen it. Again, you have to really imagine pre-internet days, pre-all kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The first time I ever seen anything like that. And then seeing anything like that, but also a Black person. It was just such a weird experience for me, like kind of opening up my eyes to the fact that there is something beyond New Orleans. There's like a star beyond New Orleans. And as a elementary school student, it made me realize that there is a really big world out there. I think so. I think that's why it still is crazy and stuck in my mind over the years.
Wow, that's cool. That's cool. So it opened your mind and your world at the same time.
Right. It opened my perceptions. Let me realize that there is something else bigger. I guess bigger, more culturally bigger than just New Orleans.
All right, and that got you more into looking for the singer or the genre, or now you just wanted to pretty much discover all?
Well, you know, at that time, I still had like locks, dreadlocks, and you know, I knew from then I was actually going to get dreadlocks at one point. So, but I still have to get a guy when I was 18 years old. But yeah, I mean, it's just it was so transformative to me. It really made impact on me, that video and that artist. And yeah, I mean, it's influencing me. It influenced me a lot for my foundation of all these years later.
All right, that's cool. That's cool. And why make you go into studying English? Like, you decided that you wanted to teach or that you wanted to specialize in that?
No, actually, when I went to my undergraduate, English was my last choice. I was actually wanting to do a couple other things. But you know,
Okay.
I've always read and I always wrote. There's like it's kind of a big story with it, but I've always read and always wrote, but English was my last choice. But as the years went on, and other things were, I just realized that I am really no good, not good enough to graduate, get like a degree in these things. So English just kind of rose up, and that's what I chose. So that's why I graduated.
But hey, this is it's a thing that has made you travel all over the world and got to different cultures. I mean, it haven't lightened you somehow, I can tell that.
The future is a funny thing. You never know what's going to happen. So you're right. I mean, it is because of the English degree that I was able to come here and teach English. And really, coming to places in Asia without teaching English as a second language is very difficult. There's not a lot of openings for other type of jobs here, but for English as a second language, all over Asia, so Taiwan, Laos, China, Korea, Japan, this is the thing you want to do, is English, actually.
Wow. Now I can I think I'm seeing my production team like looking into how to teach English in Asia and looking for jobs. Oh my God. She's already looking. I mean, it would be great. I always like to meet Japan. Have you gone to
Actually,
Japan?
I have. I spent 3 weeks studying in Japan, and I went back in for a visit. But I mean, definitely, if anyone who you know has a question, just ask me. I've been doing it for 12 years, so I know the procedure.
Cool. As a part-time otaku that I consider myself, when you went to Japan, would you say Japan is exactly what we expect from America, or it's crazier, it's not as crazy as people think?
You know, when I went to Japan, I actually was aiming to go back to Japan because I went a semester in my MFA program. So again, like 3 weeks, we're studying Japanese theater and Japanese authors, and it was really a fantastic experience. I mean, from getting off the plane to first dealing with the vending machines, which only Japan has the type of vending machines as Japan has. It's a very Japanese thing. To wandering through the alleys, going through the to the bars there in the club scene, seeing the culture is very unique. And yeah, it's actually where I wanted to live at. But they don't hire as many English teachers as other countries do. And this is why I went to Korea instead.
Oh, okay, but well, the good thing is that you went over there and you enjoyed your time. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, I loved it. I totally love Japan.
Okay, so going with back to your song, you mentioned that you got some inspiration from that song, or that song inspires you. Did it inspire you to do what? To become a writer, or do you go to this song again to open your perspective one more time?
You know, if you think about the lyrics to the song, I do think it's about going beyond your horizon. It's like we're never gonna survive unless you become a little crazy, but crazy is subjective. But anyway, it's the idea is that you go beyond, I guess, what the limits that we tend to place around each other. That's where I do from the writing. I was talking about the Japanese animation, just going beyond the self-imposed limits. And yeah, I think that had a very, not just that, but that had very big influence on me from a very young age and just stuck with me, you know, throughout teenage and then young adulthood and now, you know, my 40s.
Right. What are you listening right now, for example, that is now into the Dream Pop, Dave Matthews, something that you would say is kind of your guilty pleasure?
Right now, that I'm listening to right now, that's my guilty pleasure. It has to be Dave Matthews. I think that's the, like, I really, when I wake up in the morning, I have Siri, and I'm like, Siri, play Dave Matthews. So it's the first thing I listen to when I wake up. And
Okay.
throughout the day, I listen through it when I'm playing chess. I listen to it. And really, before I go to sleep, I listen to it. Like, I'm really on a very big Dave Matthews kick. So I don't know why, but for the past year, I've listened to a lot of it throughout the day.
Cool. Have you watched them live?
I've never gone to a concert. No, I've never gone to a concert. I've seen on YouTube plenty of their videos, but I've never been to a concert. No.
Oh,
I do remember the first time I heard. I was in freshman in high school, and a friend of mine told me about this group, Dave Matthews Band, and it used to be on these little tape cassette things that we used to have with the Walkmans and the things like that. And that's where I first heard it. On one of these, I don't even know, it's just a cassette. I mean, I guess you know, like the
cassette. I'm not that young.
All right, cool. So anyway, that's when I first heard it, and yeah, now I listen to it on online.
Yeah, I had cassettes too. Like, how old do you think I am?
Either way, yeah, I don't know how big how old your audience, but okay, cool.
No, I think I try to reach to anybody. How old would you say I am?
29.
Oh, pretty close. Pretty close, 27.
Oh, cool. Okay, cool. All right, cool.
Oh, look at that. Okay, I think this is a good time that we enjoy, and I try to get that opening of perspective point in my life and all the audiences as well. So everybody, go ahead, grab a good pair of headphones, and let's listen to Seal Crazy, and we'll be right back. All right, and we are back. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. That song was crazy, man. It was amazing. I liked it.
Yeah, I definitely suggest people also watch the video.
Yeah, no, I definitely gonna. I was looking some information as I were listening to the song, which I couldn't find much because I got into too much into it. The song is released in 1990. Which surprised me, because if I didn't look for it and you tell me that it's from 2015, 2018, I can totally believe this. I think it's very advanced to when it came from, very progressive. It's very complicated and deep song. I liked it a lot. Really, really like it. And I can understand your position. I mean, when you were a kid and you find this for the first time and you say, whoa. This is something that you never heard before. Definitely. I'm going to look more into it. The whole album, most likely I will go into there. So thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that song with me and with all the audience.
No problem.
Have you been still a fan of Seal, or pretty much that was your one hit wonder for him?
No, I like that album right now. I think it's just called Seal, actually. I think it's just his name. And then I like the second one, Kiss from a Rose. I think it's also just called Seal. And then the third one was really good. But after that was called Human Being. After that, he switched his producers. I think he switched his producers, actually, after Human Being. And the music became different, much different. But you got to realize, Seal also had age a lot. And, he, you know, when a lot of artists, they start off young, they're much more, there's like more fire and kind of risk taking and things like this. But then as you age, you tend to mellow down and things like this. And the rest of his music became much more mellow, much more mellow, let's put it that way. But not mellow in the way I enjoy. Like, I enjoy kind of soft music, but that is just, it feels more.
It was not the feel that you love in the beginning.
Right. And yeah, it's just not the kind of music I tend to kind of listen to. So, yeah.
It happens. It happens to a lot of artists, as you say, as they grow old, they change, or perhaps it's not like the origins that they have.
It's some tamed. People... It became tamed. That's what it is. It just became very tamed.
Wow. What a good word for it.
Oh.
It became tamed. All right. All right. I like that. Well, my friend, as we're going into the final part of the episode, this is the time that I just shut myself. I'm not going to talk. I let you do the talking. What's going on with your life? Tell us about your projects, when we can get your books, what's coming on, what's that Sullivan doing?
Actually, I don't really have much to say about it. I actually really enjoyed this interview. It's very fun. I enjoy talking about music. And so, yeah, I don't really have much to say about the books. I have a few books out. Just look at my name, Todd, T-O-D-D Sullivan, S-U-L-I-V-A-N. Check them out. The first one for the fantasy is called Hollow Men. The first one for the horror is called Butchers. And yeah, just check it out. I have I do have a YouTube channel where I interview publishing writers. And so if people want to check that out, I have about 120 interviews so far. So they can also look at that. And if you see, there's a lot of a huge music component to it. So it's like music and then the interview also. So you can also check that out. And that's actually it. I really enjoyed this. I thought it was a very fun experience. I enjoy talking about music, so.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I'll make sure to have all your links so they can check your books on. I know you have them on Amazon, right?
Right. Amazon is the easiest place, no matter where you are in the world. Amazon is going to be the easiest place.
Okay. We'll put the link in Amazon. We'll put a link to your YouTube channel. So everybody go ahead, subscribe, enjoy those interviews, and let's learn much more about Todd Sullivan. And you know, you have another book coming out, right?
Right, I have a book coming out. The title, this is the third book in the fantasy series. The fantasy series is called The Windshine Chronicles. This book is called Blood Stew, and that comes out October 1st. Should be October 1st. So, right, look out for that.
Perfect. It gives us time to get on time with the other that you already published.
Hopefully so.
Yeah. All right. So for all of our listeners, remember to subscribe to our channel. As we're also on YouTube, go to Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, whatever you listen to this. And yeah, just pay attention. Every Tuesday, 7:30 a.m., we're going to be publishing a new episode. And just go to Thursday if you want to learn some Spanish or listen to these crazy music talks in Spanish. What else? Follow us in our social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow Twitter. I know I'm not really paying attention to that account, but believe me, I look at you, I know it's there, I'm going to start tweeting more. Go and subscribe with Todd, follow him, buy his books and all of them. Let's make Todd continue to travel and teach English all over the world. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye, Todd. Thank you.
Oh, goodbye. All right.